Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. Obviously, I'm jubilant about the downfall of Dr. Bashar al-Assad, this monstrous tyrant who committed genocide against his own people. About 500,000 people killed in that civil war over 13 and a half years. And all right, a lot of them killed by his enemies, the Free Syria Army, or the Free National Army, as he now calls it, the former Islamic State in Iraq and al-Shams, Hayat, al-Tahrir al-Shams, other organizations, the Syrian Democratic Forces, and so forth. So even if it's an evil regime, okay, a government is going to fight to repress a rebellion, and killing enemy combatants in a battle, that's not a crime. But a lot of what he did was a crime, was not killing combatants, and was not killing them in battle. So often deliberately killing civilians on an enormous scale, gas attack after gas attack. And it was denied and denied and denied by Russia. Russia voted in the United Nations to stop any international investigation to this, because they knew that obviously they and the Assad regime had done it. And a lot of leftists were denying it. Craig Murray, a man I admire in some ways, he's been an apologist for the regime. Comrade George Galloway, obviously trying to say it was anybody except the blatantly obvious perpetrator, and on and on. But just because the Assad is evil, that doesn't mean that all his enemies are good. So I have learned to be quite pessimistic that good things just don't happen in the Middle East. I mean, seldom. So could it get worse? And just possibly it could. I know it's a bit hard to get worse than the violent deaths of 500,000 people, but Hayat al-Shams, often they were al-Qaeda affiliates several years ago. How much have they reformed? I'm not sure they've changed their spots. The Taliban came in about 3 years ago in Afghanistan, saying that they'd learned their lesson, they had moderated, they realized that Bollywood films are popular, women were not going to have to cover their faces, maybe not in their hair, female education could go on, and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, all right, maybe they're not as bad as they were. They're still bad, but they're just not quite horrifically medieval. But within a couple of years, they'd gone all the way back, and women are now even banned from being midwives. Now, Syria is not Afghanistan. That does not prove that Hayat Tahrir al-Shams will be like that. And they don't control the whole country. Remember, the north, the Turkish army is there with the Turkish-backed militias. Some would regard them as a terrorist organization, the Syrian National Army and so forth. There could be a second civil war as Turkey and its acolytes try to defeat the Kurds because they don't want an independent Kurdistan. But yeah, so everyone's been saying this is a humiliation for Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin, and it definitely is. The Russian regime invested very heavily in saving Assad. That is billions of dollars they spent over the last 13 years, is at least 500 troops killed. And right, that's nothing compared to what they're losing in Ukraine. That might be an average day in Ukraine. And they lost some equipment, but there's also some political capital to see him hightailing it to Moscow and obviously leaving his allies in the lurch. Well, even his cabinet ministers not telling them, even at the last minute, lest they give the game away and his plane be shot down or something. So he's run away with his tail between his legs. And that's an example. And Putin is haunted by what happened in the German so-called Democratic Republic, East Germany under the communist dictatorship, when it fell very quickly indeed, realized just how brittle that these totalitarian systems are, when it's just ruled by fear. That could not happen in Russia, which is why he's crushed the life out of civil society. When he's doing a bit like what the United Kingdom is doing, labeling people extremists if they question the establishment. Anybody who's not a toady, we criminalized. So Russia may well have to withdraw troops from Syria. They might lose their air base at Khmeim, their naval base at Tartus, and have some soldiers guarding the naval and air base. But that would even strengthen them back in Ukraine, because they'd have a few thousand more troops. Okay, that doesn't make such a big difference, but it's something. Assad is there. Putin wants to know the other tyrants of the world, like Lukashenko, Kim Jong-un, that they can rely on him. If the solids hit the fan, you can always run away to Moscow and you'll be kept there. Now, Assad is not having any media contact. The true Putin doesn't want him, would like the world to forget about him because it would be a reminder of Russian failure and so on. Would he say something indiscreet? But, you know, all the files will be opened. Various people will be interrogated. Assad's prime minister will presumably go on trial, and we're probably going to get chapter and verse about all the crimes and that we really did commit all these chemical gas attacks and so on. No matter how irrefragable the evidence, no doubt Putin and his Western polezni idioti will deny. Goodness. So this does not mean that, that Putin is definitely going to fall. Now, like the Russian economy is suffering, it's been much more resilient than a lot of people gave them credit for. But finally, sanctions are biting. Inflation is a serious problem. The price of various staples goods is going up. At least unemployment is very low. Through next year, 2025, they will run out of that national wealth fund. 2026, that really comes crunch time. Now, a lot depends on what happens to world oil and gas prices. But, you know, they've more than doubled the defense budget since the war began. It was already very high anyway. They're already cutting spending on education, healthcare, welfare. They're already raising taxes, and they're going to have to do that even more in 2026. That's why that could lead to mass unrest in 2026. Not saying will, I say could. We're going to give it, say, like a 30% chance, which doesn't automatically mean that the regime would be overthrown, even if it were to happen. People have been a bit over-optimistic about this, crowing about it. Likewise, in Iran, there's no doubt that Khamenei and the mullahs and this new president, they're under serious pressure. The economy is suffering, but they're accustomed to that. They've had that for decades. And there were the hijab protests in 2022, which they managed to contain by a judicious balance of oppression and concession. By executing people, 5 people a day, I'm told, it has been higher at times, and by laxity in enforcement of the hijab rules, so as not to provoke the population too much. And they've got almost all the dissidents either in jail or abroad. They've got this surveillance state. Obviously, they've been humiliated by their defeats by Israel. On the one hand, the opposition don't want to be anti-patriotic and somehow be helping Israel by overthrowing a regime. Another big difference between Syria and Iran is Syria. There were people who had there were armed rebellions. There was help from Turkey, from Saudi Arabia. Even the United States has illegally occupied a bit of Syria. There were airstrikes by Israel, eventually the United States, France, the United Kingdom, all sorts of forces against Syria, which is much, much smaller and weaker. And okay, Syria had the Russians on their side and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. But Iran, there's got no armed militant group of any significance there, and no government backing any sort of insurgency. Iran is much bigger. Iran is not really at war. Okay, there's some aerial bombardment by the Israelis. So the Iranian regime, I think, is stronger than some people give it credit for. Yeah, 2023 is about a 50% chance of revolution that year. This past year was much lower, went down to about 25%. Coming into the forthcoming year, again, something like 25% chance of that, the regime being overthrown, could rise, could fall. It's obviously a bit of a fillip for Ukrainian morale that one of Putin's key allies has been overthrown, one of only 4 United Nations member states to recognize Russia's illegal occupation of Luhansk and Donetsk as being part of the Russian Federation. So obviously I would that Bashar al-Assad went on trial, but sadly I don't think it's going to happen. He'll probably live out a very comfortable retirement in that luxury area, Rublevska Chasse in Moscow, where I used to live. Right, everybody, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in a PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.